To kick off each hour of Thy Will Be Done pledge drive, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese to say a prayer.
Hi, my name is Mrs. Bombard, and I am a fifth grade teacher at Queen of Angels Catholic School in Roswell. My class would like to lead you in prayer today.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us the human race, Jesus Christ, our Savior, as a model of humility. He fulfilled your will by becoming man and giving his life on the cross. Help us to bear witness to you by following his example of suffering, and make us worthy to share in his resurrection. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
We love AM 1160, The Quest!
And we love Queen of Angels School here at The Quest. I'm Dave Savage, the production and programming manager here at The Quest, and this is the pledge drive, as I think you're probably aware by now, hopefully. And a lot of our programming has changed here over these 3 days of the pledge drive, but usually at 11 o'clock at this time on Wednesday, you hear from the family room, and so we thought, let's keep that consistent, okay? Let's have the family room in here. So this is the family room hour. Mari, John, and Craig, welcome.
Well, thanks for having us. We're glad to be back.
Good to be back.
We're welcome. Good.
Live.
Glad you kept us.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll just hand it over to you right now.
Yeah, sure. We are so glad to be back here. So listeners, thank you for joining us here in the family room, as hopefully you do every single Wednesday. As Dave just said, I'm Mari, and I'm here with John and Craig, my normal co-hosts. We always have a lot of fun together. And we usually start with prayer a bit because we had that beautiful prayer from the sweet kids at Queen of Angels. We'll go ahead and let that stand. And it was wonderful as I listened to their prayer. It made me think of our theme for this pledge drive, Thy Will Be Done.
Yes.
That prayer really went along with it. It was great. Mm-hmm. So we have got a special guest for this hour of the pledge drive and for this hour of the family room. And John, would you go ahead and introduce our listeners to our guest?
I would love to introduce our listeners to our guest. And it's perfect in my opinion. And that's worth everything you paid for it. But in my opinion, when I think about Thy Will Be Done, the gentleman that we would like to introduce you to is to me, in your life, you meet people who are not celebrities. They're just everyday people. Jeff, you are kind of a celebrity in your own right. But seriously, not a celebrity, an average Joe. Like, I feel very comfortable speaking with Jeff any day, any time, and yet there is an attractiveness about him that comes from the fact that he is a devout Catholic living an authentic Orthodox Catholic life in what I call the honest-to-goodness real world. And that means he doesn't walk on water. He hasn't worn a cassock in weeks. seriously. Jeff, I'm going to be quiet and let you say hello. But Jeff Showalter from St. Peter Chanel Parish, all kinds of different connections, Jeff. But thank you, number one, for giving us this hour of your time this morning and giving our listeners just a slice of what it's like to, you know, to be doing what you're doing the right way.
No, I appreciate it. I'm incredibly humbled to be here today. And, you know, I was thinking about it before I showed up, you know, this was great. Like, to be called, to be asked to come on and be an ordinary guy, it really takes the pressure off, you know? I mean, I think it's a really fitting description. You know, I do feel like an average guy out there. And, you know, I've had a really blessed life so far, and I feel very fortunate. I'm not here because of what I've done, but because of the people around me and God's will. So, no, I'm excited. And, you know, maybe I guess I can give a little bit of my background.
Yeah, faith walk, how you got to where you are, and so that'd be great.
I'll be very brief. No,
first the earth's cool, and then the dinosaurs.
No, you know, again, it's pretty ordinary. I have awesome parents that were, you know, are devout Catholic, and I was raised in the faith. It was important to our family. Every Sunday at Mass, very strong Marian, you know, the rosary was part of our family. And, you know, I reflected a little bit on maybe some of the things that were unique to our family. And it was, we talked a lot about our faith as children. And one of the things that really impacted us, we moved a lot. So all the way up until high school, I changed schools many times. And there's pros and cons to that. I don't advise that for every family. But one of the positives was it kept our family close together. And we spent a lot of time together as a family. We weren't pulled away as much. And so, you know, as a kid, I had an ordinary, you know, kind of upbringing, except I changed schools a lot. I did public school, parochial school. But, you know, at a young age, I felt a relationship with Christ and God. It wasn't just going through the motions. And, you know, as I entered middle school, I think I started even, you know, like vocationally, you know, I saw maybe a priest up at the pulpit, and it made me think of the concept of vocation. It was a concept we talked about at my house with my parents. And so, you know, as I continued on, we moved to Atlanta at the end of my middle school years. I did discern a vocation. I actually went on a discernment trip, actually with the Legionaries of Christ. They were new to Atlanta, and I ultimately determined I did not have a vocation. And I kind of put that, you know, went to college, and God has a plan. I went to University of Georgia, kind of, you know, grew up a lot, did some things that, you know, kind of drifted a little bit from.
We're not in God's will, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know who I was listening.
Let's just say,
but
go Dawgs.
Yeah, go Dawgs. But it was a great experience. And God had a plan, because my wife and I met,
right.
And she was not Catholic. And as we approached the end of our college years, we started to talk about our faith. And my parents had instilled in me is real important to raise your kids in the same faith, one, and then ideally Catholic. And so my wife, we did a little bit of investigating in the faith. I really reawakened some of why I knew I was Catholic, but the apologetic side.
It isn't until you have to explain it to somebody else,
right? Yeah. And it was a huge gift. I listened to all the tapes. And so she went through RCIA, she became Catholic. And that kind of put us on our journey. You know, ever since then, I've been tried to be real intentional around continuing to grow spiritually and make it, you know, do things, raise a family, give my kids, pass the faith on to my children. So that's a little bit of,
that's a good story.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because you talk about God's will, right? You know, we all have plans, but we need to be open to God leading us in a very different direction. And given that, right, so take your marriage, you get into that state. What happens in your relationships with guys and how God's will may have transitioned that for you, you know?
Yeah, so what I found, the thing, one of the challenges I had, we all have different temperaments, right? But I think generally what I think most human beings desire community and friendship. What I started to observe was we get into raising children in our jobs, and it's a lot of surface. There's a lot of surface conversation.
Sure.
And you don't have a lot of free time. And so where do you spend your time? And then you start to have children, and it's like, okay, am I just going to hang out at the soccer field or wherever? And all the conversations were like, oh, how are you doing? I'm busy. Oh, what do you got going on? I'm it never got deeper. And so I had a desire, and I intentionally tried to create some different environments where I was able to build deeper relationships with other men. And a lot of it was through morning small groups at our church. And, you know, my wife and I talked about, we had to really intentionally put ourselves, we only had so much time, we had to intentionally put our time in certain groups of people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I felt like that was God's way.
But was that tough, though? Did you have to walk away some groupings of people that you were like, not bad people, but God has a different plan for me at this point?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned that I moved around a lot as one of the pros and the cons, right? One of the pros is you quickly learn how to make new friends. And the con on that is they should still be there. Even if you start to walk in a different path, it doesn't mean you need to leave people. We're supposed to be a missional church. But I had groups of friends that over the years that what I do is I look at, are these bringing my whole family and myself closer to God. And so you just try to, you only have so much free time. And so you have to be intentional around where you're spending your time. And who we hung out with on a regular basis has shifted over the years. But I definitely don't, I'm not subscribing to just dropping friendships. They're in your life for a reason, but you can spend time with other groups, but you have to be really intentional about it.
So I'm going to just jump in here real quick and mention this is the Thy Will Be Done pledge drive. And we've got the family room going on here, the live version of the family room.
And, unplugged.
Yes, unplugged. That's right. And we want to thank Jeff Showalter for being here as a guest. But this is the kind of local programming that the Quest provides, is the family room. It's on every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. It's also available on demand at thequestatlanta.com. But if you like to see this type of programming, whether it's a family room, whether it's Honest to God, whether it's the new Legislation Made Simple show that we have, and all the Archbishop show. I mean, it goes on and on, the Bible studies that we've done. This is the kind of thing, and we need your support to make these things happen. So if you want to donate, we could use your support at 470-508-1160, or you could log on to thequestatlanta.com. There's a little donate button there. Also on the app that you have on your phone, I'm sure you have it. If you don't, it's real easy to get, but there's a little donate button on the Quest Atlanta app, and that's 470-508-1160. Let me just give a shout out to a few people here. Julietta from Powder Springs, thank you for your support. Helga from LaGrange, that's actually for the last hour with Father Tim. That's from Emily, Vivian, and Helga. Christine and Ed donated. Thank you very much. Paula from Roswell, in honor of Mari, John, and Craig. So thank you, Paula. Christine, in honor of Father Valerie, she says, you are the best. And Carol, in honor of Kathy McCormick, Carol from Marietta, and also Rosemary from Roswell, thank you very much. And I'm just being handed this new information. Awesome. I love matching money, because we have $3,000 on the line up until noon today.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so whatever you donate, I don't care if it's $5, if it's $1,000, it will be doubled. It'll be matched dollar for dollar, $3,000 up until noon, as long as the family room is on.
Great. Awesome. So all of those friends
Jump
you were just talking
phones,
about.
Guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jeff, all those friends you were talking about, hopefully they're calling right now. That's great. So you mentioned right before we were talking about the pledge drive, that phrase that does this group of people, these friends, this community that we're putting ourselves together with, our family, do they draw us closer to God? Or do they pull us away from God? And it's fascinating for me, because that is actually the motto that I had when I was looking at relationships, when I was first dating and looking at relationships. And that's what I've taught my kids. But I hadn't really made it. I mean, hadn't really thought about thinking about it with my family. So I love that context of thinking about, for my family as a whole, who we do life with.
Right.
And that's, yeah, that's pretty cool. So being very intentional, as you said about that, you're very intentional about recognizing that you're trying to step into the motto of this pledge drive, thy will versus my will. When did that shift for you? When did you kind of realize that, oh my gosh, I really need to be right. I'm looking at life as far as God's will, thy will versus my will.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely over the years learned how to shift, like a little bit of just life experience, right? Where I would say more in the beginning of my adult life, there's more like, I'm going to pray for this to happen. I want this, right? And then you start to learn that, like, well, if I probably am praying for the thing that I'm least fearful of, and that is the least stretching me, right? And or the thing that, and I started to unpack that a little bit, because I've had, I feel like every year I've got a different mini crisis that you've got, you know, like whether it's a job change, or you're trying to figure out how to deal with some situation, or kids, or whatever it might be. And so what one of the things that I've incorporated into my life early on when we first got married was going on a kind of an annual retreat. And, you know, that has been the single most impactful thing for me, because what it does is it gives you an annual check-in on where are you kind of walking. I am by far not I don't have it figured out, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you start Lent and you're like, I'm not going to do this. Then halfway through Lent, I'm doing it, right? I mean, whatever.
I'm glad you made it through halfway.
Yeah,
usually it's 3 days in, I think, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
keep going.
Yeah, but on thy will. So what I've learned is that maybe instead of praying for one specific outcome, there's maybe three outcomes. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I figure out which one I'm most fearful of. Huh? And then, and I maybe ask for a little bit of why am I fearful of that, and maybe detach. Because ultimately, I think what God wants is, it's not that he doesn't want you to have the one that you want. Mm-hmm. He wants you to be open to what he wants, and then he'll give it to you, right? So it's like detaching from what I'm a little bit. And so it's helped me, like in some pretty big decisions I've had to make over the past few years,
yeah,
where I kind of organize my mind around that and then try to do God's will.
That's pretty cool. So two quick questions around that. One is your annual retreat. Is that just you, or is that you and your wife going?
It's just me. So it's, you know, when I got out of, right when my wife and I were getting married, I was at Holy Spirit mm-hmm. Parish, and they had an evening of reflection sponsored by, it was a Regnum Christi sponsored evening of, they had talks. And I got plugged into a small group, an encounter team, they call it. And that's been, so that group of guys, we go on an annual silent retreat once a year. And I've kept it up most years since I started, and it's become, for me, it doesn't just touch, you know, my spiritual life. It's also a great time to plan family activities and kind of work and a lot of different things. So mm-hmm. I recommend it for anyone to kind of, you know.
It's hard to hear from God when it's a really noisy
world. That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. I said two, so I should probably mention the second. The second thing that you said that hit me was when you're going on the retreat. Okay. Oh, wait, my mind just went blank because I was thinking about the second piece of that was what you had said.
So by himself or with Lisa?
Yeah, by yourself or with Lisa.
When we record the shows, this is all cut out.
Yeah. And usually I don't gap this badly during when we're doing the show.
Let me jump in while you spin around. So Craig and I talked a long time ago about an idea of, we as business people have we're engaged in our business and we do all kinds of things. We were, you know, do a little play on words. We talk a lot of times about bringing your faith to work, and our challenge was bringing your work principles to your faith, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you said, you know, the thing that I'm least fearful of versus the thing I'm most fearful of, I think about a mentor at work, right? You go find a mentor who's going to look at you and your skill sets and say, you think this, I believe you can do a little bit more, a little bit. And they always give you that stretch assignment. So talk about maybe some mentor people in your life. Or maybe you just like, poof, God just dropped that on you.
No.
But I bet there were probably some people to lead you down that path, right?
Yeah, I think the mentoring concept has been probably the most important thing in my life. I mean, a little story. I was real close with my grandfather, my dad's dad, and he lived in a condo when I was probably 25 years old, 24 years old. He lived in, on my way to work, and I would stop in occasionally, get coffee with him. And he was a big communicator, right? A big personality. And I always looked up to him, and he was real intentional around his relationships, I noticed, in his community. And he was from a small town in Northwest Ohio. And one little thing he told me that really stuck with me was, always, you know, he kind of gave his own reflection. Like, I came from a smaller community and I made a lot of mistakes. And man, I wish I would have had some mentors in my life that would have helped me maybe avoid some of those. And he just simply said, if I were you, I would put as many mentors in your life as you possibly can. And I really took that to heart, and I really intentionally, and I heard that from some other people as well. And so I purposefully put some, I mean, whether it's somebody close to my age, somebody much further along in the business world, spiritually, et cetera. And I call it triangulating ideas, but I like to really get multiple views on a decision that I've got to make or something
Smart.
I'm dealing with. And it's been real impactful to me. So, you know, I would say the mentoring concept has been, and I really feel passionate. That's how we got to pass it on, the faith on. Mm-hmm. It's how we got to show people how to do business. We don't do a great job of it in my own business, right? Like, how do you bring, I didn't get to where I'm at by myself. I got there because somebody took me under their wing and really mentored me. So
Just one last thing on that, and I feel like you might have got your question. Okay, mentor, we get that whole idea from a business perspective. Spiritual direction, yeah. How does that fit into the whole mentor thing? And do you have that in your life, and how important is that?
Yeah, so I do. I have a spiritual director. I've had one, you know, for a number of years. And it's a spiritual mentor, and you got to be honest with them, and you got to actually bring, you know, pride seems to kind of hide some of the things from us sharing. But like, if you really are authentic, the cool thing is you start to learn about yourself. And I think like a lot of the journey is self-awareness about who we are. And there's a number of things we could talk about around that. But I've looked at a spiritual coach as somebody that really helps you look at it from a spiritual lens. But again, I think it's good to get different perspectives, you know, like maybe somebody in the business world, somebody who might push you in a different direction. But yeah, spiritual guidance is, it's basically, it's not confession. It's somebody who's going to help you actually unpack why you're doing the things that you're doing and hopefully help you get to know yourself a little better.
Mm-hmm. Well, St. Francis de Sales said, you're a fool if you don't have a spiritual guide, if you want to be your own. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah, we don't want to be
our own. Before you forget.
Okay, I've been spinning around here and it finally came back.
Right.
No, it was when you were talking about, once again, thy will, that, you know, you were praying for what you specifically wanted, mm-hmm. and then you started praying, realizing, okay, what's the thing that I'm most afraid of? So maybe I can pray for that. And what was going on in my head was, when we handed over to God and you said, well, he wants you to get what you want, is that he wants the best for you. You know, that's what's so beautiful about thy will is he's the one who created us. He's the one who knows what's best for you. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. So he does want what's best for you, even if it's the scariest thing.
Right.
So I loved that. It was just completing that train of thought for me. But one thing you were just talking about with mentors, with John's question there, there are going to be some people say, well, how do you do that? Do you just walk up and say, hey, will you be my mentor? But it sounds like what you do is you think of something specifically that you have a life question about, whether it's where to send my kids to school or how to talk to my boss about new responsibilities or whatever. So do you go with a specific question to somebody who you think could answer it well, who's done well that way? Yeah. Or how do you find mentors?
There's been different ways. Early on, I approached a couple people and said, I'd like you to be my mentor, and I'm going to drive the process, right? But generally, like if I have a decision to make around something, I think of people who I get along with and who might have some life experience that they could share with me. And then you connect with some people better than others. Mm-hmm. I think there is also some of it is just temperament as well, with being coachable and not being coachable. Mm. And I think people who find they're resistant to getting feedback should unpack it a little bit, because you're really missing out. Because the people who are most coachable and also are confident, they're able to be really grow. Mm-hmm. But if you every time somebody tries to give you a little bit of advice, you kind of close down or you avoid it, you're isolated and you don't have the ability to really because people see you think you've got a view of yourself. And if you're not, it's really good to hear what other people's views might be. They might be directing you. So I think you got to, you know, again, we got to kind of unpack it for ourselves. You know, one of the things I was going to mention too is we talked about, and I know I'll be, you guys cut me off when
you're
it's
good.
Time.
You're good.
This concept of like, you know, spiritual mentor and work mentor, and you know, there's a couple concepts around. Well, as I've gotten older, I see more and more, there's more and more pressure, and you could have, and you're maybe more, you have children or a spouse, and life does not get simpler, and it feels like anxiety and all those things can come into play. And I didn't do it on purpose, but it's kind of worked out this way is, you know, I'm in sales and relationship management. And a lot of it, when I first started on in that career path, I felt like I had to be a certain person in order to be successful. And what I did is because of my faith journey, I felt like I had to be authentic. I felt a lot of pressure to be, and I just started doing it. And what has happened is by being authentically the same person at work, mm-hmm. at home, mm-hmm. and at church or on the ball field, is that I don't have anxiety about being duplicitous.
Yeah.
And I think there's a ton of people walking around who are really trying to be somebody to everybody, mm-hmm. not necessarily deceptive, but you're trying to make people happy.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And what I figured out in my job is, if I act a certain way, if I act who I am, you end up attracting people who like who you are. Mm-hmm. So you end up being around a bunch of people. Like the relationships I manage at work, they fit really well with who I am. And so I would just encourage people. It takes a little bit of you got to really be kind of comfortable and not, you got to let go a little bit. But I think I would encourage people to try to just be authentic, because it's stressful. Oh gosh, how am I supposed to be in this situation? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it causes churn inside, and that wears on you, and it builds. Yeah. Sure. It gets more and more complex.
So. And I think that authenticity is something people sense.
Right.
You know,
that's fact.
They feel
100% true.
That's correct. Absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, this is the pledge drive for the Quest Atlanta. And Mara, you were just talking about, we're talking, this is the Family Room, by the way, their hour. They're always on at this time. So we thought we'd have them in here live. And our guest, Jeff Showalter, and Mara, you were just talking about, his will versus God's will. And I thought, what a great lead-in, but you didn't take it.
Thy
will be done is the theme of this pledge drive. And we're going to have all sorts of guests here all day long today. And we're going to hear more from Jeff Showalter in just a little bit here in the Family Room on The Quest.
You're listening to AM 1160, The Quest, and this is our Spring Pledge Drive, where the theme is, Thy Will Be Done. After hearing these stories of God's will, if you're moved to donate, please call 470-508-1160. Go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener-supported, and we rely on donations from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to Thy Will Be Done pledge drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's VerseBright.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
Hey, it's Christy with Healthy Coverage for Life. We offer low monthly health insurance premiums, no copays, and except for hospital stays, there are no deductibles. Time to start saving.
HealthyCoverageForLife.com.
According to a survey by CNR Research, more than half the people underestimate their monthly subscription bills by nearly $100. From video and music streaming to gaming, they forgot about some of them, but kept making the payments. Is it possible you have some? Maybe you can make the Quest your forgotten subscription. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you just to stay on the air. Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
A Lenten Reflection on AM 1160 The Quest.
During Lent, let's reflect on the words of Pope John Paul II, who said,
Ash Wednesday connects us to our Lord, who went into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the evil one. In these 40 days of our own desert time, we refocus on Christ's redeeming work and the promise of the resurrection.
This Lent, refocus on Christ and his sacrifice for our sins.
Let us offer a prayer of thanksgiving for Father John Conway, a priest serving in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. Eternal God, we thank you for the blessings of Father Conway, who represents you on this earth. Make him more greatly aware of the grace that you pour out through him as he ministers the sacraments, and help him to fall more deeply in love with you after each and every Mass that is celebrated. Please strengthen him so that he may lovingly and courageously shepherd your flock. May we support Father Conway in the Archdiocese of Atlanta by offering him kind words, deeds, and assistance. We thank you, God, for the gift of Father John Conway. Allow him to remain an example of your truth and a guide to all those he is entrusted to serve. We ask these things of you, our Lord, our eternal priest. Amen. The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
Did you know science has already proven that at fertilization, a sperm and egg unite to form a unique human being with DNA separate from that of the mother? Yet, the argument today is not whether that new life is a human being inside the mother's womb. The argument is one of choice. We are told that a mother's right to choose to kill her unborn daughter trumps the daughter's right to choose to not be killed by her mother.
What happened to women's rights? Only some women have rights, not all women. Many young women are never given the right to choose if they want to live or die. It's time to take a stand for life. All human life matters. So let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160 on our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And we have matching money on the line here this hour up until noon today. $3,000 in matching money, meaning whatever you donate, up to $3,000. If you want to donate $1,500, that would be great because that would be a $3,000 pledge right there. We would appreciate that. And I'm Dave Savage, the production and programming manager here at The Quest. And this is the Family Room hour, which we always have the Family Room on at this time every Wednesday. But today, they're live in the studio and with a special guest, Jeff Showalter. So,
let's bring it back, Jeff. Appreciate everything you said. You know, a couple things come to mind. Number one, you've said intentionality about 4,000 times. So I think there's a key there. You know, but the other thing that strikes me is your comment about actually sitting with God and praying about a decision and peeling it apart, not just picking the easy one. I mean, you know, folks, this is what we're talking about, growing in spiritual maturity. You know, we've said Jeff's an ordinary guy, but yet he's taken his faith very seriously. He's been very intentional, which leads him into a personal relationship with Christ. That leads to, what do you want for me? What's best for me? And it may not be oftentimes what we really want, because to your point, you ask the question, why am I afraid of this? Why am I excited about this? And God wants to reveal to our hearts our deepest yearnings, our deepest pains, our deepest sufferings. So I honor you for the fact that you actually sit in that and you look to God for that answer, because we can all come up with a decision and say, oh, God's will is this, right? Because it lines up religiously, but God may be like, that's right. Not at all really what I want you to do. Yeah. So as you said, unpack what being intentional really means in your mind. And how is it really a part of your life now with your wife, with your kids, with your faith?
So there was a lot there, actually, that we could go to. But I mean,
that was a classic Craig question.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was good. You framed it well. I mean, I could go in a few different directions. I think
we only have until noon today.
Yeah. I've got 5 minutes. So first, the intentional part of I think it's important, and again, I go back to, like, not everybody's the same temperament and have backgrounds and everything. But I have a tendency to spend time thinking about what the future looks like, and some people live, my wife and I are, you know, my wife has a tendency to be more in the moment, and there's pros and cons to both. Actually, we complement each other well for that aspect. I think it is important to think about what you want the future to look like. We're going towards heaven. In between now and heaven, there are some things I would like to try to do, which is to pass on the faith, to have an awesome, like, deep marriage when I'm down the road, God willing. And so what happens is, you know, we talk about spiritual direction or self, you know, you read books and different things about, or get coaching. You know, I had somebody tell me one time that, like, you know, 10% of our brain is thought, and another 90% is kind of like subconsciously forming you and taking you where you're going. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about the future, like, hey, I want this, I want to be a man of God, and I want to share the faith and bring others to Christ, and that's something I pray about, then subconsciously little decisions during the day I'm intentionally doing that, even though I'm not consciously.
Your brain will lead you.
Your brain leads you there. Your body, so you
kind of planted that.
Yeah, it's implanted in my, you know, you kind of visualize where you want to be someday. And I think that, you know, I don't work at every minute, mm-hmm. but you're moving in that direction. It works. I think that's what the whole thing around at work with goal setting. Mm-hmm. You set a really big goal and you just kind of work it every day, and it typically comes to fruition. You might be a little below, you might be a little above the goal, but I'm real big on that. So, you know, what else? What was the first part of what you said? you said a couple things there.
I have no idea what I said.
Yeah,
at
I know.
Time,
so I know.
You wanted to know how you thought about an existential point of view versus a purely a priority.
A lot of it was framed around just really sitting with asking God for His will and drilling down on why does this bother me? You're getting deep spiritually.
And I had a thought on that. So my tendency is action, efficiency, mm-hmm. get stuff done. And as that's not how God works. And typically, I think, you know, I think there's sometimes just you follow your gut, you make a decision. But what I'm learning how to do is take an issue, and you can't do this in every single situation of your day or your life, but especially big decisions, you sit down and you unpack it. And the best place is adoration. If you can get to an adoration hour once a week or somewhat frequently, you take it, you unpack it, and He doesn't just tell you, like, this is what you're going to do, right? He doesn't tell me that.
Yeah.
I'm usually sitting there and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make some notes. I'm feeling this. Why am I feeling this? And then you, over time, and it's teaching me patience, kind of spiritual patience, and like, let God just work. Watch the signs. Yeah. There's not, sometimes you got to make decisions quickly, but a lot of times, big decisions, you got some time and rest in it. I keep telling myself, rest in it, and we'll see where it goes.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, as you say that and you talk about the different temperaments, because you also have your spouse, right?
Right.
So you've got Lisa, we each have I've got George, and what their temperament says, what's God saying to them. And what you made me think about was, I asked George one time, so where are we going to live when we retire? What do you think? Because I'm the think ahead planner. Let's start making some actions. Let's start doing. I'm that type of thing. And George is very in the moment. And he looks at me and he goes, I don't know. And I said, you don't know. You haven't thought about this? And he goes, I don't know, because I don't know what God's will is for our life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he just got me with
that
he
one. Did.
Right.
He got
okay,
you
so
well.
Dave, I will take it. He was talking about thy will. So George was very much focused on God's will, thy will. So listeners, we are here in the pledge drive. And so we are going to ask you, because here in the family room, we are all volunteers. We come in here because we love you and we love our faith and we love the opportunity to talk about our faith. So we are here every single week. We've been doing this for a number of years now. And so we're asking you, would you please financially support us? Because that's the only reason we're going to stay on the air,
please.
Is if you'll financially support us. And so you can donate by calling 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. We've got volunteers waiting to take your call. And you can do it in honor of Jeff here or anybody you'd like. And you can also log on and donate via thequestatlanta.com. or via our app. And if you don't have our app, if you go to Quest Atlanta on your app store, in your app store, you can get the Quest app, and that way, so Quest Atlanta, that app, and you can pledge that way as well. So Dave, what else do you want to share?
I just want to give a shout out to a few people here. Father Valerie, who was on last hour, donated in honor of Yvonne. Thank you very much, Father. We have an anonymous one here who says they are a big fan of Jeff Showalter. We don't know who this person is.
Tell your mother thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom.
And then from Diane, in honor of Jeff Showalter, Diane in Woodstock.
That's actually my mom.
I saw the Showalter last name, and and also Margot George, in honor of Father Valerie, who was on last hour. So thank you all very much for your support. And I want to mention that each one of those that I mentioned, we still have, as I'm eyeballing this here, we still have some money left on the table for matching money.
Awesome.
So there's matching funds. Each one of those that I mentioned, they matched it dollar for dollar. It was doubled. Your donation can be too if you do it right now. 470-508-1160, thequestatlanta.com, or get the Quest Atlanta app on your phone.
And just let me go one more second on that, because I know people hate pledge drives. But Jeff, you said something just in your life about having some angst and saying, I'm going to pick the thing that's least scary to me, and when maybe God is calling me to something. Honestly, folks, as you think about making a pledge or you think about a monthly commitment, I would ask you, just trust me on this. Well, don't trust me. Trust God on this, right? He tells us never to put him to the test. But when he talks about tithing. He says, test me on this, and if I don't pour out blessings. So just take two more seconds and think, could I inch this pledge up just a touch more? And I would just ask you to do that. And everything is going to work out great, but I think it's an opportunity to hear from a gentleman that has learned how to trust and stretch. And I would just ask you to do the same thing in the spirit of what Jeff is sharing with us this morning.
Yeah.
So, Mari, what you said, or what you prompted from Jeff, caused me to think about something, and it was about, you have a family and kids. One of the things and men like to congregate as men, and we will congregate, right? And left to our own wilings, we can do good things and different things, sometimes bad things, but we will get together and we'll do stuff. And it's very easy for men to start meeting as men. Well, first we're going to do this, and it could be all good things. It could be encounter. It could be a long weekend retreat. All things that we do as men while we have a spouse and children at home who are wondering, where's my holy man?
Yeah.
Right? How do you fit all that together?
Right. Yeah, that's a good one. The first is to remind yourself that your wife and then your children are number one,
right,
behind your relationship with God. So, you know, I work real hard to make sure that they're number one. Now, I will say that sometimes we, and John, you and I have talked about this, but sometimes we use that as a little bit of a crutch or a reason not to do other things.
Right.
And what I've tried to do is if I'm going to be away from my wife, my kids, and my job, that's where you got to really be selective of where you're spending your time as a man. And so I've intentionally tried, if I'm going to have a couple weekends a year that I can be away from the family, I got to be really selective on what those are. And one of those is that retreat I mentioned,
right,
or with a group of guys because I also have a work, you know, I might have a work outing that I have to go on, but it might be with a group of guys that are helping me, or we're helping each other grow closer to Christ and be better fathers. So I would say that, you know, this whole concept of I'm too busy, sometimes I even think of it as, well, are you, like, what are you doing at your house with your children and your spouse? Mm-hmm. Are you actually engaged? I know that I'm not always. I might be looking at my iPad, looking at what's happened in the news, right? And if we're going to use that as our excuse, as the reason for not doing other things with that are maybe for the church, or let's really make sure we're being honest with ourselves. And I think it's really hard. It's really hard to decide, should I go to that soccer game? Are we spending too much doing soccer games,
right?
Or mm-hmm. baseball or basketball? And those life decisions, I think that's back to that intentionality. It's really with your spouse, figuring out, where are we spending our time, and are we bringing our family closer to Christ and bringing him closer to others? And so your family and your kids, that's number one. But, like, don't fool yourself and only think that you're, because if I know that we all say that, but then we also aren't always engaged at home.
Correct.
And I think if we're at home, make sure you're engaged, right?
Yeah.
And then also look at your schedule. Do you have a little time? I always do morning things. We do these mornings of reflection over at St. Peter, morning at St. Peter Chanel. Mornings have always been a time when I can go to my wife and say, hey, look, this is some time that I might be able to use. And it's been really easy for me. Mm-hmm. to give back. Evenings are much more difficult for me, right? Because there's a lot of family things that go on. So
thank you.
I like the way you include your wife in the decision too, saying, if we're looking at life as a family, so this is what I want to be able to do to build my relationship with Christ. Here's the timing that would work for me. Does that work for you as well? Just being mindful of that. Because she needs time for her building of her relationship with Christ as well.
You want to walk together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Why don't you go a little deeper in that whole idea of collaborating with your spouse? Because, you know, a lot of times as guys, we're like, hey, I'm making this decision, we're moving on. A lot of times we don't make a decision because, to your point, we aren't intentional. So how do you and Lisa make a true collaborative process?
Yeah, I got to be very careful here in the way I respond.
Don't listen
anymore. Yeah, this is live.
I know. So my intention is to be very good at what I'm about to tell you, right? So I'm sure I have not batted perfect with her, but
we said you're ordinary.
Yeah,
you're
okay. I'm very ordinary. So the idea, Lisa and I, we know we might not have it written and put on the wall, but we know where we want our family to go. We're in the same page, right? So we know we want our kids to have the faith to be able to go and make an impact in the world someday and really find their mission that Christ has given them. Well, when you kind of know that, it kind of brings you, when you make decisions, you can kind of say, hey, I know we're kind of going in this, but shouldn't we be like, is this an alignment? Mm. And it's an easy recalibration of what we're doing. And neither of us, we might hold on to what we want to do, but we work through it. And look, I'm a huge fan of everyone having a third party at times, right? That could be, I mean, call it marriage counseling, call it a friend that you bounce ideas off together. Mm-hmm. But because sometimes when you just talk to one another, you resist just to resist because we're different people.
No, you're making
it. Yeah, no, it happens.
I'm glad you're unique.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. When we start clenching the desk, you know that you're just putting your heels in. But so we try to communicate and talk through things, and we each have different styles of that. But it, as much as possible, being on the same page, and we're not perfect, right? Mm-hmm. We have to work through it. We come to the same conclusion over time, mm-hmm. But you know, it's communication. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of couples just kind of over time you shut down, because it's too hard, right? I'm just going to do my thing. I'm going to go to work, or I'm going to raise the kids. We're busy. We'll just kind of, and then, you know, all of a sudden you're pretty separated.
Married,
you know?
Singles.
Yeah. Married singles. Yeah. We've got a lot of those. Yeah. So. As you were saying there, being on the same page, I think I have this analogy in my head of being on this fast moving train. And people have talked before about everybody's got fear of missing out. We're all like, jump on the train. And we're all on this fast moving train and it's going crazy. And people want to get off, but they're like, you get off first. Yeah. I don't want to get off, right?
Right.
You get off. And so the image that came as you were describing that is you and Lisa decided where your train was going.
Right.
And that, therefore, if your train is heading off on a spur that isn't heading to heaven, isn't heading to your kids being able to do what's God's will for them in their lives, you guys are able to talk about that. Oh my gosh, we had 12 soccer games this week.
Right.
I think that's, we're going off on a different, right, this train is headed fast in the wrong direction. And you can, because you know where you're trying to go together, it's easier to guide and steer your train instead of being on this blindingly fast moving train just because everybody else is.
Yeah, where are we going?
Yeah,
like what?
Yeah.
Well, this is what we do. And then it's like, I agree. Yeah.
Let me just jump in here real quick because we just got a few minutes left for this matching money, up to $3,000. And I'm just kind of adding these numbers up in my head, which is dangerous, but it looks like we've got at least a few hundred dollars left of the matching money, and that goes up until noon today, so you got like another 6-7 minutes here to take advantage of that. Every dollar you donate, every dollar you pledge will be doubled, will be matched in this matching money. So call 470-508-1160, or you can log on to thequestatlanta.com. There's a little donate button up there with the dollar sign. The Quest Atlanta app, if you don't have it on your phone already, make sure you do that. And I also want to mention, too, that for everybody who calls in and donates, and we realize, too, that times are tough for a lot of people, and if you prayerfully cannot donate right now, that's fine, too. At least call in and say hi, leave your name, because we're going to be offering a novena of masses for your family members who have fallen away from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So get, whether you can donate or not, just get your name on that list, and let's try to bring all the souls to heaven, as many as we can, which is really what our mission is here at The Quest anyway. So anyway, we got a few minutes to wrap up here at the family room. Oh, and I also want to mention, too, this time tomorrow in this hour at 11 a.m., Father John Ricardo, who you know from Christ is the Answer, you hear every weekday here at 8 a.m. He's going to be
live and local
here, right here on The Quest. So check
very
that out tomorrow.
Exciting.
Not as popular as Jeff Showalter, but we'll take it.
Well, no, and speaking of Jeff Showalter's popularity, I'm noticing here Daniel from Roswell, in honor of Jeff Showalter. Thank you very much for your donation. Also, Christine, in honor of Father Valerie, who was here last hour. Christine from Sandy Springs. And then Cheryl from Marietta, thank you very much for your generosity.
That's great.
You know, what I like about all this, too, we're in Lent, right? And we do a lot of things in Lent. But we never oftentimes ask ourselves why. And, you know, your whole idea of intentionality, your whole idea of how you're approaching your faith life is why. Why am I doing this? Mm. Well, my goal is heaven. My goal is to get farther beyond than what I can see today. Yeah. So that's awesome. You know, I don't have a question in there. I'm just making a comment. But the whole idea of why am I giving up chocolate? Why am I doing an extra mass? What's the purpose versus just doing it because I'm supposed to? How is it transforming my life to be better than I was yesterday?
Your comment is congruent with Jeff's comment about intentionality. Yeah. I was moved by your thing in our group me that said, we're doing all these things. I'm anxious to see the spiritual outcome of this. And it was a wake-up call for me. I'm like, I'm checking all these boxes about all the great stuff I'm doing for Lent, but am I doing it intentionally? Do I expect to be different and better on Easter morning than I am today? And the truth of the matter was, until you made me think about that, I was checking the boxes, really. So that's where you took us, Jeff. I mean, we've only got a few minutes. Any like last minute things that you want to share with us?
Yeah, I mean, I just maybe on the Lent thing, you know, I'm with you. Like, you get a little fatigued of like this constant, you know, what am I giving up? And, you know, it goes back to the decision making and doing thy will. Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, what Christ wants us to do and it's never going to go away. And it's giving, detaching from what we're attached to other than him. Mm-hmm. And so Lent is just a kind of maybe a surface level, or maybe could be deeper, but ultimately he just wants you to let go of what you want and attach to what his will is for you. And so I think we got to, I'm just speaking here
because
I don't know if it, but I mean, like, so I'm giving up X at Lent. It's just a little exercise to kind of practice and remind you that we're trying to walk in his path, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's really what, you know, I'm trying to do. And I know all of you, you know, this has been great. So
you also bring the scripture that where multiple times Christ or God has said, it's not your sacrifices I desire. It's you doing my will.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Go learn. Mm-hmm. The meaning of this, it is mercy
be obedient,
I desire,
do
not
my will.
Sacrifice.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been a theme, I think, from what all that you've told us today. One of the things that strikes me is doing it in community, you know, recognizing that God's put different people in your life, he's given you your spouse, your kids, a community. But one of the things that struck me is you said, you've got to make sure you're ready to be obedient to do what they give you as feedback. You've got to prepare your own heart to take whatever advice a spiritual director gives you, or take whatever correction a mentor might give you, or take whatever new idea your spouse might give you, or take whatever feedback your kids might give you. And so I think Lent is also preparing our hearts to be more docile.
Yeah.
Right? To be able to do that.
I agree.
Yeah. So
humble.
Humble and docile to be able to do that. So very important.
And let me honor Jeff just real quickly. I know we're wrapping up here, but, you know, the life you live, not what you say, has been an inspiration to a lot of guys. I mean, the growth of the men's group at Peter Chanel was by God's grace, but through your intentionality and through your efforts. So thank you for that, because you have been an inspiration to a lot of people.
Well, thank you, Craig.
I can't hear what you're saying, Jeff. Your actions are drowning out your words.
Yeah, it's really good. Thank you.
Your authenticity, is so loud. That's very important.
Well, I just want to say that if you have enjoyed this hour, even if you haven't, how could you not? But if you enjoy this hour, this happens every Wednesday. The family room, John, Mari, and Craig all come in here, and once a week we do the family room. And to keep local programming like this on the air, it takes your support. It's listener supported. Without the listener's support, it doesn't exist. So call us, 470-508-1160. You can log on to thequestatlanta.com or the Quest Atlanta app.
Yep. And so we are always thankful to have you with us here in the family room. And as Dave said, you can hear us each Wednesday. We're also podcasted, and you can stream any of our programs. So, Jeff, you will be in eternity here future. And we have all kinds of guests, because here in the family room, we try to offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families. So, listeners, please stay tuned. Be with us again here in the family room next week. But stay tuned now here in the Quest, on the Quest, because we do have our pledge drive, Thy Will Be Done. And, Jeff, we thank you so very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.